The song that we just sang, Standing on the Promises. Isn't that a key to Christian living? That we say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we talk about our faith. And why do we believe? Because he has recorded it for us in his word. And we can stand on that. We can stake our life on it. Hope that was a meaningful song to you as you sang that old timer. It's an old one, but I hope you were thinking about what you were singing. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the chance to come tonight. We're few in number, but great in the truth and promises of your word. We are thankful that you are with us. We believe that. Thank you that you put it on the hearts of these that came out this evening. And we pray that you would be glorified in what we say and do in these coming moments, especially from your word. We commit this to you with thankfulness. In your name I pray. Amen. Andrew, let's call this one, It Works. It Works. What I want us to do this evening is just take a look at how the early church grew more churches. The early church, what do I mean by that? That's the body of true believers, those who are truly Christian. Yet as we get in especially, and we're going to be looking at the book of Acts this evening, I want us to see some principles that worked for the early church and ask ourselves the question, does it still work today? Would it still work today? If we walked in the steps of those early Christians, how is it that it grew and developed so? Sometimes in huge numbers. Well, I hope this will be a blessing. Three simple points that I want us to look at. Don't you love it when I give you points, you note takers? How was it that that church was so successful and churches were established? Number one. Nothing altered their message. Nothing altered their message. What was the message of the early church? Say, well, that's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Well, we can tell you what their message was. Passages like Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And we see here Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do what? To observe, obey whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world." We see the Lord repeated that challenge to them, gave them a message. You could find it in Mark chapter 16, 15, spoken just a little bit differently. We find in Luke 24, perhaps an interesting take in verses 46, 47, and 48, when it says, "Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Doesn't that kind of sound like, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations"? And it says, and then in verse 48, Luke said, "And we are witnesses of these things." Nothing altered their message. In Acts chapter 1, we know that this message was given for them by our Lord. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." As we look at these references, we can see that they knew what they were supposed to do. They had received power and was promised they would receive power to accomplish it, and they went out to do it. As we go through the book of Acts and we find the beginning of the church, we discover some progress. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the first 13 verses on that day of Pentecost, we find that there was that sound from heaven, and there was the sound of a rushing wind that filled the house. There appeared those cloven tongues of fire. They sat upon each of those disciples that were there. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. I'm going to empower you for the message that I have given you." And they began speaking, and we saw that. We've had reference to that in our Corinthians messages. They began speaking, and there were Jews from various nations present in the city of Jerusalem for the day of the Pentecost observance, and they were amazed because these Jews from all over the countryside, various nations around, what was it that amazed them? They began hearing the gospel being preached in what? Their own language. And Peter stood at, and there were all, there's always skeptics, verse 13. There were some who said, These guys are just drunk. That's what's wrong with them. This isn't anything special going on. These guys are just out of their head. They're filled with new wine. Beginning at verse 14, Peter stood up and he started explaining through the power of the Spirit. He began telling them that this is what the prophets had said hundreds of years earlier was going to happen. And the fact that God was going to pour His Spirit in those days on God's servants, on His handmaids, they're going to prophesy. Verse 18, I'm going to show wonders in heaven. Verse 19. And it says in verse 21, it'll come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Peter began to talk to these Jews how what God had prophesied all of this about His Son, the descendant of David, and God had chosen him for the position and the purpose that He came to provide salvation. But you put Him to death. You didn't want anything to do with Him. Spirit of God convicted them. As Peter goes on preaching, we find that they're crying out, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter responded, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit, verse 38. And we find that that day, those that gladly received His word were baptized, verse 41. And that day there were added how many new Christians? 3,000 of them. Wouldn't that have been something to see? How did that all come about? It's because this first point, nothing altered the message that these believers had been given. They knew what they were supposed to be proclaiming as they went out, as they went from place to place. We find that as you go through the various chapters, for instance, in Acts chapter 4, as they went out with this message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not always met with welcome open arms. The religious leaders resisted it. They objected. We find in verse 17, the religious leaders, look at verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest unto all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Men, we got a problem on our hands. We can't just say nothing is going on in our midst. I mean, if over 3,000 people on one day accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and they begin to talk to others, news of that's going to spread, and the religious leaders, they were smart enough to realize there's something going on that we can't deny, but we got to stop it, or we're going to have a real problem on our hands. So verse 17, they said, so it spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them. And they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you make that call. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. they were, nothing was altering their message. They had been given a commission. They knew what their message was, and we find that they were sticking to it. Nothing was going to change that message. We cannot but speak, verse 20, the things which we have seen and heard. We go on through other passages in the book of Acts. We find, for instance, in chapter 5, they're imprisoned for their testimony of Christ. But in verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, all the senate of the children of Israel, sent to the prison to have them brought. And when they got to the prison, they discovered these guys are gone. By the way, we hear they're back down at the temple and they're preaching. Nothing altered their message. Nothing altered their message. I don't care whether it was opposition. I don't care whether it was persecution, whether it was imprisonment. They knew what they were supposed to be giving. They knew the message that others were to be hearing from them. Now here's a question. How many of us are faithful to our message that we have been given? Do we faithfully give it out? Boy, I fail. I fail. But one of the keys of the church growth in those early years was nothing altered their message. It didn't matter what was on their plate. They continued giving out the message. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." They got it. And I wonder if we've lost it. The interesting thing is that you can go chapter after chapter after chapter through the book of Acts, and you see the growth, you see the success. And we get to the point where in verse 42 of chapter 5, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So that when we come to chapter 6 of Acts, verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, the number of disciples was multiplied, yeah, there arose a murmuring. Look at verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. Nothing altered their message. We come to Acts chapter 7. It's the account of the first martyr for Christ. First person to lose their life for the testimony and witness of Christ. Stephen was his name. Well, that altered his message, didn't it? When the authorities captured him and they asked him, "What have you got to speak for yourself?" Stephen really backpedaled, didn't he? No, as you go through chapter 7 and you get to the end of it, they listened only so much to what he had to say as he was bringing them up to speed, as they were asking him, "Why are you saying these things?" And he started out in the early history of Israel, brought them up to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done and could do for them. And it tells us that they listened so long, verse 52 of chapter 7. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, Jesus Christ, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers, who've received the law and the dispensation of angels, but you haven't kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he began, being full of the Spirit, lifted up his eyes. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And when they listened to that much, what did they do? They said, "Enough." And they all grabbed stones and they started stoning him, and ultimately, in just a few moments, took his life from him as he was praying, "Father, forgive them. Don't lay this sin on their behalf." Did that alter Stephen's message? No. It gave impact to the truth of the message, didn't it? And you could go right on through in the book of Acts. But that wasn't the only thing that caused the early church to enjoy such success, if we could say that, of the fact that they were committed to the message, the assignment that they had been given. Are we? Second thing is, nothing stopped their enthusiasm. Nothing stopped their enthusiasm. It didn't matter what it was. There were new converts popping up here and there. And we find that these had an enthusiasm that didn't seem to wane. Isn't it sad that so many times we witness someone who has just recently come to know the Lord as their own personal Savior, perhaps for whom we have been praying for a period of time, and we see God answer that prayer, and that person is brought to faith in Christ, and they accept the Lord, and they begin to demonstrate, and you begin to compare that one with veteran Christians, and almost invariably, what is the difference that you notice? The enthusiasm. Who has the enthusiasm? The veteran Christians? I don't think so. And we see that these who were coming to Christ were enthusiastic. God was changing their hearts and lives. And not only nothing altered their message, but throughout the book of Acts, we discover that nothing stopped their enthusiasm. I wish that were true with us today. Back to chapter 5, Peter, verses 40, 41, and 42. They departed from the, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house, what do we see? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There was an enthusiasm about them, and it didn't diminish. Look at Paul in Acts chapter 14. That was with regards to Peter there in Acts chapter 5. Chapter 14, verse 17. Here we see Paul, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now get this. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Does it sound like Paul's enthusiasm for serving the Lord was dampened by this stoning? No. And we mentioned this a week or two ago in one of our messages. They drug him out of the city, thought he was dead. Perhaps he was. He revived. He went into town. They went into another region. And then we find that Paul said, let's go back to the same region where we had where we met all of the opposition, where we met all of the trouble. Let's go back there and let's encourage the brethren there in verse 22 that we must continue in the faith. Don't let anything stop your enthusiasm. Not only must we continue in the faith, but encourage those believers that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. How come we don't continue with the same enthusiasm? Chapter 16, Paul and Silas thrown in prison. They were beaten. But what did they do? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Were they enthusiastic about serving the Lord? Yes, they were. Would I have been praising and singing the Lord? I have my doubts. I know myself. What about you? But the church was growing in the book of Acts because nothing altered their message. And secondly, nothing stopped their enthusiasm. And we could go on and give reference after reference, but we're moving on to the third point. Because the third thing that we see in trying to, what was the secret of the growth of the early church, and how that everywhere they went, people were accepting the Lord and responding to Christ? The third thing is, nothing deterred them. Detour. You take a detour. Nothing detoured them from their mission. They knew what their message was, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. He gave His life, and we need to preach faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and that we have the privilege of taking the truth of Christ to all places and all nations, and all people need to hear it, and nothing was going to detour them from their mission. In other words, there was none of this, oh, the opposition is too hard here. They faced the opposition. Let's look at some examples. Look at chapter 11, Acts. Verses 19 through 26. 11, 19 through 26. Now they that were scattered abroad about the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, spoke to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. This was unheard of, that Gentiles would be responding to the gospel. For you see, initially, the gospel went out to whom? Went out to the Jews. But here we see now it's beginning to be sent to the Gentiles. And we find here that tidings of these things, verse 22, came to the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. Then we see departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Nothing detoured them from their message. It didn't matter whether we're going to take the message to the Jews or whether they're going to take the message to the Gentiles. Whoever will listen, and in whomever's heart the Holy Spirit will do a work, we will go there. We will preach there. We will teach there. Look at 14:21. 14:21. We've already saw this just a moment ago when Paul, after being stoned, encouraged the disciples, but especially in verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. He had just been stoned to death, but that did not deter him from his mission of getting the gospel out and confirming souls in the truth and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 15:41. It tells us he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Look at 16:4 and 5. They went through the cities. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep for that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Excuse me. It worked. It worked. How was it that it worked so? We find that as we look, and we've just scratched the surface of the truths in the book of Acts, but we've looked at example after example of servants of the Lord and ministries that they performed, and we see the reason it worked is because nothing altered their message. They didn't water it down. Has Christianity watered down its message today in many pulpits, in many quote-unquote Christian books, in many Christian ministries? Yes. Nothing altered their message. Nothing stopped their enthusiasm. Didn't matter whether it was suffering, hardship. And we find Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 just about all the things that he had to go through in serving the Lord. And it never altered his or dampened his enthusiasm. He kept on keeping on. And we saw ultimately nothing detoured, nothing caused them to just pitch the mission and say, I've had it. But they kept on for the Lord. Well, I hope this was an encouragement to you. I trust it was to the glory of our Lord. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for this quick look that we have seen of many examples. But we thank you for these principles that these early believers employed. They knew what their message was, and enthusiastically they took that message wherever they went. And it didn't matter what kind of opposition they came up against, nothing caused them to take a detour from the mission and the task you had given them. Help us to renew our own commitment to you, Lord, that you might get the glory and that we might see even people saved, perhaps in our neighborhood, perhaps in our families, perhaps where we work, Lord, the power is still there. May we be faithful. In your name I pray. Amen.